Greetings. Thank you all for returning. We extend a warm welcome to all our new listeners here for the first time. I am Pastor John, welcoming our global audience of unchurched, self-study people, as well as those who are part of a church. For anyone looking for greater depths in God's Word, thank you all for listening. May you all be blessed of God. Last week, as we started our Easter message, we learned our baptism has a strong resemblance to the death of Jesus. The word, quote, resemblance, end quote, tells us that we do not physically die. Our death is a spiritual death to the things that are not beneficial to us, despite how good for us they seem. By example, in the forest, there are blueberries that look good and yet are bad for us because they are poisonous. Without proper understanding, we might pick and eat such blueberries instead of blueberries that are good for us and very enjoyable. In this analogy, the bad blueberries are the sinful life, and the good blueberries are the life in Christ. Notice further, by baptism, we become dead to sin. This is why adult baptism is very important. Baptism, at the very least, symbolizes the death to sin we need to die to. When one is raised up out of the water, it is the same. To find out more, listen to our previous episode titled The Believer's Freedom from Sin's Domination, Part 2, posted on April 7th. This week, our study is titled, The Believer's Freedom from Sin's Domination, Part 3. Our scripture reads, For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old man was crucified with him so that the body of sin would no longer dominate us, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For someone who has died has been freed from sin. From Romans chapter 6. Verses 5 through 7. We will answer the question, what is our old man, when we come to that question in verse 6. For continuity, we will start with verse 5. First, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly be united in the likeness of his resurrection. What is verse 5 telling us? It uses the word, quote, likeness, end quote, for describing his death and his resurrection. Why are we talking about likeness? Let us see if we can answer our questions. For if we have been planted together, literally, have become formed together, the word is used here only. In the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That is, since Christ's death and resurrection are inseparable in their efficacy, union with him in the one carries with it participation in the other, for privilege and for duty alike. The future tense is used of participation in his resurrection because this is but partially realized in the present state. From Robert Jameson, A.R. Fawcett, and David Brown Commentary, Critical and Explanatory on the Whole Bible, 1871. We should notice closer, since Christ's death and resurrection are inseparable in their producing the desired result, union with Him in the one carries with it participation in the other for privilege and for duty alike. This means, if we die to sin in our salvation unto Christ, the resurrection from that death is inseparable. Therefore, if we truly die to our sin, we will rise with Christ when He comes for us again, before the tribulation, and we will fully rise from our dead body, of which will fall away, so we can receive our new and perfect body. This is confirmed in this sentence from Robert Jameson, A.R. Fawcett, and David Brown commentary. The future tense is used of participation in His resurrection because this is but partially realized in the present state. Or it may be better stated for modern understanding this way. The future tense is used in participation in His resurrection because this is but partially realized in this present day life. We are spiritually resurrected, but not physically, as we will be when Christ returns to take us to our eternal home. For greater clarity, you also have been made one with Him in His resurrection. You can show you have changed to a world around you that has not changed. You live now in a new and different way. This world in which you used to feel at home has nothing to offer you anymore. From King Comment's commentary on the whole Bible. That comment is quite stark and definitive. It is also very clearly written. If one is saved in Christ, King Comments speaks of our new reality about how we live in this life and world. This means we live in continual conflict with what we feel, think, and sin's impression on us, driving us in a different path that is sinful. Therein is the struggle we will live in until Christ comes for us. It should be clearly noted that our reward in heaven will be keyed to our behavior here. Again, notice the parable of the talents, also spoken of by many people, the parable of the 10 talents. This parable is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. I suggest that you familiarize yourself with it if you haven't read it. In brief, 2 men received talents and did something with them that created more. 1 man did nothing with his single talent, sum of money, in the day, and returned only the 1 talent. When we are at or seated at the Bema Seat judgment, do we want to be like the man with 1 talent? If you have read that parable, I suspect the answer to that question is no. In short, it is not about how much you make out of what God has given you in your resurrection to new life and salvation. It is that you make something, anything, that demonstrates an increase over what God gave you. The man with 1 talent did nothing and only returned what was given him. The man with 1 talent would have been received like the other 2 men had he returned even a modicum of return to show even the slightest profit. Now, verse 6 reads, "We know that our old man was crucified with Him so that the body of sin would no longer dominate us, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. What is this old man that is us or was us? Let us see if we can find the answer to that question. All Christians are supposed to know this. This is a new illustration drawn from the fact that by his crucifixion, our corrupt nature has been crucified also, or put to death, and that thus we should be free from the servitude of sin. From Barnes' New Testament Notes. We should note the first sentence from Mr. Barnes. All Christians are supposed to know this. In other words, this is something we, as born-again Christians in Christ, should know, and know well. Now, further, this illustration is drawn from the fact that by the crucifixion of Jesus, our corrupt nature has been crucified also, or put to death. Thus, we should be free from the servitude of sin. Yet, are we really free from the servitude of sin? If we really are, do we fully understand it? There are many teachings from church pulpits in America that would seem to indicate the answer to that question is no, when it truly is, or at least should be, yes. Remember, quote, all Christians are supposed to know this, end quote. Digging deeper, we find our old man. This expression occurs also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. From these passages, it is evident that Paul uses the expression to denote our sinful and corrupt nature, the passions and evil propensities that exist before the heart is renewed. It refers to the love of sin, the indulgence of sinful propensities in opposition to the new disposition which exists after the soul is converted and which is called, quote, the new man, end quote. From Barnes' New Testament Notes. Our old man is mentioned more than once in our Bibles. That phrase is in nearly every New Testament book, with reference to either a man of sin or, directly, a male person who is old. This means there can be ample study material to learn more about the old man or old woman in all of us. Remember, old man is a broad term used in days gone by that is more inclusive of gender, that one today may not think at first read. This means, whether male or female, in these passages it is evident that Paul uses the expression to denote our sinful and corrupt nature regardless of gender. A sinful soul filled with passions and evil propensities that existed before the heart was renewed is sinful regardless of gender. Therefore, as born-again Christians, our heart is renewed. Those not renewed love sin and the indulgences of sinful propensities. This is in opposition to the new man which exists after the soul is converted or saved, born again in Christ. When we are saved in Christ, born again. We are now called, quote, the new man, end quote. Yet, in my little corner of the world, this was never expressed and taught. Our old man or old woman is crucified, is put to death as if on a cross. In this expression, there is a personification of the corrupt propensities of our nature represented as, quote, our old man, end quote, our native disposition, etc. The figure is here carried out, and this old man, this corrupt nature, is represented as having been put to death in an agonizing and torturing manner. The pains of crucifixion were perhaps the most torturing of any that the human frame could bear. Death in this manner was most lingering and distressing. And the apostle here, by the expression, quote, is crucified, end quote, doubtless refers to the painful and protracted struggle which everyone goes through when his evil propensities are subdued, when his corrupt nature is slain, and when, a converted sinner, he gives himself up to God. Sin dies within him, and he becomes dead to the world and to sin. For as by the cross death is most lingering and severe, so that corrupt nature is not subdued but by anguish. From Grotius. All who have been born again can enter into this description. They remember the wormwood and the gall. They remember the anguish of conviction, the struggle of corrupt passion for ascendancy, the dying convulsions of sin in the heart, the long and lingering conflict before it was subdued and the soul became submissive to God. Nothing will better express this than the lingering agony of crucifixion. And the argument of the apostle is that as sin has produced such an effect, and as the Christian is now free from its embrace and its power, he will live to God. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. The suggestion being made, at the very least, is that while our salvation is immediate, our realization of it is not. Once we are saved in Christ, we need to stop certain behaviors and begin other behaviors that frequently are not common to us. This and our desires that need correction also are what make this change difficult for us to do. This is where God covers us in his forgiveness of us, if we only ask for it. Notice closely. This old man, this corrupt nature, is represented as having been put to death in an agonizing and torturing manner. The pains of crucifixion were perhaps the most torturing of any that the human frame could bear. Death in this manner was most lingering and distressing. And the apostle here, by the expression, quote, is crucified, end quote, doubtless refers to the painful and protracted struggle which everyone goes through when the evil propensities are subdued, when his corrupt nature is slain, and when, a converted sinner, he gives himself up to God. As you can see, it is more than simply just saying yes to God. It rightfully involves our sincerity in actually wanting to be spiritually crucified in such a manner that represents that which is most lingering and distressful. Such a pain that is referred to as a protracted struggle. A protracted struggle referring to our life of salvation in this present life as we crucify our old man. This is not something that happens immediately. Understand, this is a willing thing that a person does because the joy of eternal life in Jesus makes it easier than it may presently sound in this message thus far. However, I want you to understand, we go through this with the Holy Spirit as our guide, teacher, and helper. So we are not alone. This darker side of this subject is not as bad as it may sound. Psalm 23 tells us of how good our walk in Christ is, and it also reassures us with verse 4. Even when I must walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. In other words, we do not fear the crucifying of our old man or old woman, for we fear no danger. Crucifixion is nothing to fear. It is a spiritual crucifixion, not a physical one. We fear no danger that crucifixion can cause if we are saved by Christ. The expression is evidently merely another form of conveying the idea contained in the phrase, quote, our old man, end quote. A personification of sin as if it had a living form and as if it had been put to death on a cross. It refers to the moral destruction of the power of sin in the heart by the gospel and not to any physical change in the nature or faculties of the soul. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. Again, we are not talking about physical death. Mr. Barnes told us, it refers to the moral destruction of the power of sin in the heart by the gospel, and not to any physical change in the nature or faculties of the soul. This means the death we are talking about is a moral destruction of the power of sin in our hearts. This is done by the gospel, which invokes a change in our hearts. Notice, we should not serve, should not be the slave of sin, that we should not be subject to its control. The sense is that before this we were slaves to sin, but that now we are made free from this bondage because the moral death of sin has freed us from it. Sin is here personified as the master that had dominion over us, but is now dead. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. Notice the last sentence of Mr. Barnes' commentary passage. Sin is here personified as a master that had dominion over us, but is now dead. The simple teaching here is that we are 100% free of sin if we are converted in Christ. However, we have learned many corrupt things and ways that we need to break and fully put down as we embrace our new man or new woman in Christ. If nothing else, remember that our Bibles and my previous comment told us. For someone who has died has been freed from sin. If we die to sin in our salvation unto Christ, the resurrection from that death is inseparable. Therefore, if we truly die to our sin, we will rise with Christ when he comes for us again before the tribulation. If we have passed from this life before Jesus comes again, we will rise first and then our brothers and sisters who are alive. Next week, our episode is titled The Believer's Freedom from Sin's Domination, Part 4. To find out more, join us next week. Play or download our episodes from one of our podcast hosts, or follow direct links to these platforms on our website under the podcast menu item. Details follow. All Bible quotes without a citation are from the New English Translation Free Version. We greatly appreciate our audience. We look forward to the return of all our faithful listeners, followers, and new listeners. Thank you all so much. We are very pleased to serve a diverse international audience. Please share our podcast with family, friends, and others you believe would find it a blessing. This study podcast is a wholly self-funded outreach presented by the Church of the Unchurched, an all-electronic, Boston-based outreach uniting the community of lost, searching, lonely, and forgotten in Christ. If you are visiting for the first time, welcome and God bless you. If you are unsaved, we truly hope you find God as well as receiving Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Please find a short link to our episode titled How to Be Saved at the bottom of any episode description. To learn more about us and who we are, give our episode titled Introduction, About Us, Who We Are, a listen. In that episode, you will learn more about us, who we are reaching out to, our mission, vision, ministry, and more. Again, a short link to this episode is found at the bottom of any episode description. Find our website at https://thechurchoftheunchurched.org. Please type The Church of the Unchurched as a single word with no hyphens or spaces in unchurched. Also, because we are on a very secure European server, be sure you type the lead https://... as it is required. Be sure you include it in any bookmark you make. This will prevent security load errors. Our site is mobile, tablet, and desktop compliant. Our site also has links to many of our podcast platforms under the podcast menu item. We are found on podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and Spotify, to name a few. We refresh all our feeds with every weekly episode upload on Sundays, East Coast Time, USA. These sites update our feed within 24 hours of our refresh. Our RSS feed is syndicated on many popular podcast RSS feed platforms. Find us on a preferred platform to follow us as we continue to grow. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. Until next week, this is Pastor John for the Church of the Unchurched.